Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 194. Excited to have Ben Butterfield with us today. Ben is the Director of Sports Performance at Wentworth Institute of Technology. He reached out to me a while back, and this is what I love about the show. You know, what I've tried to do with the show is to acknowledge and recognize strength coaches at every level, at every stage of their development. And Ben is just getting his first opportunity here to lead a program, a Division III school. It's still kind of a part-time position, a 10-month position. And in the offseason, he owns his own business and works with another college program. And, you know, just thought he had a unique story to share. And so he reached out, and I agree. I think this is something that as we go through, many of us strength coaches, we forget either where we came from or the journey that it takes. And it's one of the reasons why I love the journey question so much is that, you know, it's there's no such thing as an overnight success. And and it's a challenge. It's a journey. And that you have to go through, I think, in some respects to really appreciate the profession. And so I really appreciated Ben and his story, just talking about all the things that he's done and the different roles that he's had to get his first opportunity with Wentworth. And I think it's just encouraging for everybody to go through. We talk about that. We talk about some of the challenges that are faced with at Division III schools. We talk about, you know, just some advice and where he feels like the profession is headed. And so it's just refreshing to be able to talk to a young coach that's trying to make a difference in his own way and is willing to put himself out there for everybody to see and learn from. And so appreciate Ben coming on the show. Before we get to this episode, I want to recognize our sponsor for this episode, Iron Grip. As you guys all know, I'm a big fan of Iron Grip plates, barbells. I've put it in multiple facilities that I've done, including my own garage. I would highly encourage you. I was just down at Miami, and they just put in Iron Grip dumbbells down there, and the new Fat Grip dumbbells are fantastic. If you have not seen those, make sure you reach out to Chris DeSanto, or, you know, come to any one of our summits, as we, you know, we'll have them on display there as well. But I can't say enough about the company. Can't say enough about Chris and Liz and everybody with the company. I would highly encourage you to follow them on social media, as they, you know, you get a chance to see a lot of the installs and the product, you know, the projects that they have completed recently. But just a great company to be associated with. So appreciate them sponsoring the show. Please reach out to them on social media and say the same, as they continue to help us bring this show to you for free. Sit back and enjoy this episode, and we'll see you on the other side. And just a quick note before we jump into this episode, like the last episode and the episode after this, I shot these all on the same day, and for some reason, it did not record the video. So I apologize to Ben and you guys that watched the live or the video aspect of this podcast. It is just going to be an audio podcast, but we'll still be bringing it to you in multiple channels. So I hope that doesn't offend you guys too much, and we'll try to get the problem fixed in upcoming months. Thanks. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I have Ben Butterfield with us. Ben is the Director of Performance at Wentworth Institute of Technology. It's a D3 school up in Boston, Mass. He spent some time with Assumption as well. And, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Definitely, Ron. Thank you for having me.
Ben, part of my motivations with this show are not just to have the experienced 30-year-old 30 plus years in the business strength and conditioning coach, but it's also to just talk about things that are pressing, that are facing strength and conditioning in general. You know, and as a coach that's gone through, I mean, you've had lots of internships, you get your first opportunity to run a program, you've battled your way through this profession, and you reached out to me and just said you had a unique story, you know, and I agree after hearing your story. So for everybody that's just getting to know you, talk a little bit about your journey, just kind of Reader's Digest version. Where you been? What have you done? And what's led you there to Whitworth?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and kind of give back a little bit. I'm an avid listener to the show. For myself, ton of volunteer work, ton of internships, but that's really kind of the way you have to go, where you kind of have to work for free before you can eventually get a paycheck. For myself, I graduated from Westfield State. At the time, I needed 6 more credits to fulfill my undergraduate degree in health fitness, and I did not want to go back to school and sit in class. And so I walked down to the kind of internship desk, and something I'll remember the rest of my life, where I had a 2.97 GPA, and I needed a 3.0 to qualify for an internship. And so the woman told me that, and she was like, you know what? You know, you walked all the way down here, and you present well. I'm going to go ahead and allow you to apply for internships. So I was definitely appreciative, because I was going to get an internship, get some experience, and at the time, I didn't quite qualify for it. You know, I missed it by maybe like 0.03 was of a point. So I went on. This is in 2007. I went on and I interviewed at Northeastern University and Harvard University. I ended up taking an internship at Northeastern University 2007 under Joel St. Cyr. I did that because it was part-time and it allowed me to work also. So at that time, I was working at Velocity Sports Performance in Sudbury, Massachusetts, and I was splitting time at night going into Northeastern University. So my day looked like Velocity Sports Performance in the morning from about 9 to 2, and then I'd shoot into Northeastern and work about 3 to 9, 3 to 10. There was Joel St. Cyr. I worked with football with him, and Dan Boothby and Art Horn with basketball, and Dan Boothby with men's ice hockey. So I kind of had three of the premier sports in and assisting with them. First time getting my feet wet, I didn't quite know if I wanted to do sports performance or personal training. So I was just kind of at that crossroad. Really, really enjoyed what I was doing. They kind of gave me women's basketball to start with and take my feet from there. I had a track background, so I had to bring them through some track workouts. So they kind of enjoyed that. After that summer, Dan Boothby was with men's ice hockey, and he asked me to kind of stay on in a active role assisting with him. So at that time, I stayed on for 3 years assisting with men's ice hockey. At that time, things were kind of falling into place with me at Velocity Sports Performance. I became full-time rather than the part-time coach I was before. So I did that for about a year and a half. I had great success at Northeastern, the men's ice hockey program. For the coaches who aren't quite around, it's located in Boston, Massachusetts, and ice hockey in Boston, Massachusetts is huge. It's a very, very well-liked sport here. So they rose to number 3 in the country in, I think, 2009, so things were really rocking and rolling and doing great there. At the time, Velocity Sports Performance in Sudbury did close, so I lost my position there. And I was kind of at a crossroads a little bit. I was doing a little bit of personal training to make some extra money. I was doing Northeastern University, and I was just reading a ton, reading 2-3 hours a day, and really enjoying just learning more about it. At that time, I decided to enroll at Springfield College, which people call the mecca of strength and conditioning. So I enrolled there with Dr. Brian Thompson, who's still there as the director of sports performance, strength and conditioning, and director of the overall program. So for myself, first time getting my feet wet, first time back in school about 3-4 years, I ended up applying to get in, and I did, thankfully, and I spent about 3 years there, went part-time there. During my time there, I held internships at Boston College for Olympic sports, Boston College football, which is 2 separate entities for those that don't know, and also the Buffalo Bills. From there, I left Springfield College. Typical, you're applying for jobs and trying to get your name out there. I got a phone call from Matt King, who was the director of sports performance at University of Maine. And he was in maybe his third year as a head strength coach there. He gave me a call and said, you know, I need someone to be a first assistant with the overall duty of really overseeing men and women's ice hockey. And so this is my first gig, and it was a working interview. So I knew after the summer I may or may not be held on in that position. It was just based on the kind of work I did and the background I had. So I spent 5 weeks up there, learned a ton of what I was good at and what I was bad at. So it was a big learning experience. It's the first job. It's the first job at Division I University for me. Overseeing a program, making the lifts, working with athletes day in, day out in a collegiate setting where I'm overseeing it. So right. Unfortunately there, the ice hockey coach said to me, you know, we need someone who just needed a little bit more hockey experience at the time. So I was let go, which was disappointing, but, you know, that happens to pretty much everyone at one point of their career. So I came home late August. Most times that's when jobs were taken up. So it wasn't really a whole lot out there. I sent a ton of emails out, Division I, II, III, in the New England area, just looking to get my foot in the door, whether it be full-time, part-time, volunteering. I didn't care. I needed to get into a university, right, get my feet back under me, and do some coaching. So Gwen, who was an athletic trainer at Assumption College, I recognized her name on the staff directory at Assumption College and doing my research there. She worked at a Boston College football camp that I worked with in that following summer. Reached out to her. Assumption College is a Division II program in Worcester, Massachusetts. So I reached out to her, came in, met Chris Grautsky, who is doing strength and conditioning there also. So we kind of split some teams up. Teams would pay us out of their own budgets because the program was definitely kind of still in its infancy stage and working with coaches there. So they pay us out of our own budgets. I've been there for going on my fourth year. And during my first year there, I got a call from Evan, who is the head men and women's volleyball coach at Wentworth Institute of Technology. He was my cousin's roommate at Springfield. He kind of knew I was interested in gigs and had my name out there. So he gave me a call and said, you know, here at Wentworth, which, like you said, Division III school in Boston, Mass, was looking for a strength and conditioning coach. And when, you know, if you want to come in and we can kind of get you an interview and see how things go. So it's my fourth year. I'm just finishing my third, this tail end of my third. And at Wentworth Institute of Technology, overseeing everybody for all 17 sports of men and women's. And at Assumption College, I'm working right now with women's field hockey year-round. So it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's the thing about this field is if you're going to be in it for any period of time, it's going to be a journeyman's mm-hmm. profession, mm-hmm. you know, and you've had your fair share in a short amount of time, and still, to be fair, it's still kind of, you know, still kind of going at it, right? You're in kind of two part-time type of roles that create mm-hmm. a full-time job.
Definitely.
You know, there's a couple things I want to dig out of your story. One is the connections. And how important that is, as you mentioned that. I mean, you mentioned a trainer that had worked a football camp, you know. You mentioned a cousin's roommate, you know. Those are the things that people don't, you know, when you're going in it, there's a sense of pride that, you know, you want to either do it on your own or you're only focused on, you know, the people at the top. And there's so many people that you come into contact with on a daily basis that can potentially help you. And that's how you need to look at, you know, every administrator, every trainer, every, you know, coach that you meet that's a visiting coach. Those are all opportunities to develop mm-hmm. a relationship mm-hmm. as you go. And so one of the things that I always tell people to do is to draw, you know, is to, we'll draw a 50-mile radius and go do site visits, but also mm-hmm. Is to write down every single coach that you ever had as an athlete, you know, and then basically reach out to them and let them know that you're, one, you're going to be in this field, and two, find out who's their best strength and conditioning contact, you know, and because every one of them, you know, probably went to college, probably had a strength coach mm-hmm. and can recommend somebody, and you never know where those are going to go. The second thing I want to dig out is the why, you know, I mean, here you are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on your seventh opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, still kind of, you know, and in some respects you're living the dream. In some respects you're, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, man, I'd like to get a full-time paycheck, you mm-hmm. know. Why keep going?
Mm-hmm. For me, I love training athletes. You know, in the summertime, both those gigs are 10-month gigs. And in the summertime, I do a high school strength and conditioning camp where I work with mostly ice hockey players in that eastern Mass area. So for me, you need to enjoy the relationships you build with the men and women in the high school, in the college setting. And they keep me young, and I really enjoy the relationships I build with the athletes and working with them. I'm a pretty high-energy guy. I'm passionate, enthusiastic about it. So I just really enjoy training somebody in their sport and then watching them go play it. Like, they can be an absolute stud in the weight room, but then when they get in the field, they're a different kind of person. And I just enjoy watching them put all this work into it and then going out on the field. You know, at Assumption, the women aren't there to lift weights and run sprints. They're there to play field hockey. However, the running and lifting will help them in their sport, but they may not all love it. So I think it's my job to make them love it, make them believe in it, and really get them to peak in their athletic ability. So I just love watching kids train and athletes train and then go watching them play the sport they love. It's something that I've always enjoyed doing.
Absolutely. What you know, in this process now, you know, you've had ups and you've had downs already in your career. What is one of the biggest mistakes you've made? Kind of, you look back and you're like, man, that was a bonehead thing. And then what's maybe a piece of advice that you would give yourself, you know, at the very beginning to maybe shorten the time it's taken you to get to that full-time role?
I think for myself, I wish I went to grad school sooner. You know, I spent about 3 years working as a personal trainer, being in the public sector, working as like a director of personal training. I spent about 3 years doing that, just kind of finding, you know, what I wanted to do. And maybe I needed that 3 years to find out what I wanted to do, or maybe it was 3 years of, you know, should I go back or should I, you know, stay where I'm at. So I wish I went to grad school a little bit sooner. I think I started when I was around 25 in grad school. So, and at Springfield, it varied. I had kids there, or students that were 21 years old right out of their undergrad. And then I had people there that were in their low 30s finishing up their degrees. So that's something that I wish I could change for myself in the right now. Scheduling more site visits is something that I do every single year. And it's advice I give to young coaches. This past year, I went to Yale University and caught up with Mike Harris, one of the sports performance coaches at Yale. So every winter and every summer, just making a site visit, reaching out, getting more connections, and really kind of marketing yourself as a sports performance coach, and really catching up on with old friends and really making new ones. So,
sure. What, you know, now you're, I mean, even though it's a 10-month position and all that, I mean, you're leading a program at Wentworth Institute. You know, what's the biggest challenge that you're facing right now running a Division III program?
Definitely. I think for myself, I love working in that it was in its infancy stage when I started. They didn't have a strength coach before. And when I was described the weight room by Evan, I was like, oh man, who knows what I'm walking into? It's Division III, so you don't quite know what you could get. I walked in there and it's got 5 squat racks, inlaid platforms. It's got 9 benches, 2 racks of dumbbells from 5 to 90. Plenty of free space, kettlebells, boxes, a wall to throw med balls on. So it really is a good situation where I can have 40 lacrosse players in there and it's not a big S show. It's able to give a great flow and give a great presentation for the workout. So for me there, I think the toughest part is really scheduling. Coaches vary there. Some are part-time, some are full-time. So I may not be able to sit down with coaches on a daily basis because they may be only in there on a 10-month schedule, or they're really only in there for their preseason and in season. And when it comes to out of season, they're not quite there. So my first year there, I sent out surveys to the coaches, you know, what times do you want your team to train? Cause you know, their schedules, I don't, I kind of have an idea, but you know, the times that best work for them. So I asked for times, I asked for goals and priorities if I couldn't sit down and speak with them over the phone or in person. So that's kind of how I kind of settled in the first year. Learn more about the coaches, learn more about the athletes before I really met anybody or kind of got in front of them. So
what do you know, so outside of scheduling and running the teams, what are some of the things that some of the tools that you use? I mean, you mentioned you know, sending out surveys. Did you do that through Google Docs, or did you just hand it to them? What were some of the tools that you used to kind of communicate with coaches that weren't there?
Yeah, just basic Microsoft document or a Word document and send it to them. And that's a way of introducing myself, introducing to the program. Let them know my goals, my priorities, the standards. You know, something as simple as, you know, everyone's going to wear sleeves. Everybody's going to not wear the emblems of other schools or high schools. No gum, earrings, jewelry, no hats. Letting them know my priorities, my goals when those athletes come in the weight room. So it definitely was a culture shock because I wanted it to run like a big time program. You know, I wanted men's basketball to come in and they're not going to wear Boston College gear, or they're not going to wear Northeastern gear down the street, or I'm not going to see their high school team or their AAU team. So I think for me, just getting that program to function like a high quality, close to a Division I program where they have a strength coach, they have a full hour with me multiple times a week, we're doing in season, they have an out of season. I think for myself, really making those players and coaches buy in is huge. I want them to come, enjoy it. It has to be, I want it to be the best part of their day, the most passionate and energetic time of their day. Because, Ron, it didn't take me very long to know and realize and learn that these students are just academically on another level than what I expected. I'm getting students who are pulling all-nighters 2 weeks into the semester, not in midterms or finals, but, you know, I had a baseball player come to me yesterday after a training session, and he claimed, because I haven't slept in 3 days. I go, why? School, man. I'm an architect major, and I am just grinding it out. You know, he claimed he hasn't slept in 3 days, yet he came to the left, did his best, one of the most high-energy kids. But, like, I'm dealing with kids that are just academically, they're fried. And when they get to the weight room, it's a time where they can relax, let their hair down, and just really, really have fun. Another story I like to share is I had a women's softball player come to me last year and say, Ben, the sessions we have here, it's better than eating for me. And I go, well, what do you mean? She says, well, I'm so stressed at school. I think about school all the time, eating, sleeping, doing work. For the hour that I'm here, I can relax and I can focus on something completely different. Sure. So in that aspect, I'm getting some therapeutic responses from the kids, which I love. And for me, I want them really to love coming in and relax and just be high energy. So those are two stories where it just really took me by surprise just how academically pushed these kids are a week or 2 weeks in the beginning of the term, you know, not to mention during finals and midterms. So it's been really eye-opening working at a tech school at that level. So
right. Well, I think, you know, for everybody listening, I think this is, you know, an important lesson in that, you know, sometimes you have to go and make opportunities, you know, and, and the thing about it is that there's still a lot of universities out there, a lot of colleges, you know, Division III, NAIA, Division II schools that still don't have strength coaches, you know, and so going in and kind of barging in and creating a position, even if it's, you know, a volunteer opportunity at first, but then you can find money through working in the rec center or find money teaching classes as an adjunct faculty or something. All of a sudden now you've bypassed a lot of steps. I mean, you're not the assistant, you're not the, you know, GA, you're not an assistant, you're the head strength coach. And so I think going out and finding those opportunities and what you learn, in my opinion, what you're learning there at Whitworth is that you get put in situations where it's not about sets and reps and exercises. It's really about how you manage people, you know, time and resources. And once you get into that, that's where you sink or swim, you know, is handling those coaches, handling those athletes, you know, understanding the stresses that they're facing. Those are so important. And really it's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the art of coaching. As a young guy in the profession, you know, where do you see it going? Where do you see strength and conditioning going? Where do you, when you look 20 years down the road, do you see that there's still going to be the same structure? Is it going to be different?
I mean, in the industry, it's really about all who you know. That's where you're going to get your next job. At Springfield, it's, like I said, the what they consider the mecca of strength and conditioning. I was so lucky to go there for 3 years rather than two because I met so many people, undergrads that became GAs that move on. And I know guys, you know, every Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I go through my phone, send texts out to guys and ladies and just congratulate them or wish them the best in what they're doing for the year. And I counted and I had 20, 25 names in my phone that ranged from Division I, II, and III in the professional setting. So it's all the connections you make. When I was at Springfield, it took me about a year to realize the background that Dr. Brian Thompson brings in is phenomenal. The kids had experience that some had more, some had less, some had already kind of had roles in strength and conditioning, left them and went back to school. So I think the knowledge base now for kids leaving school, whether that be undergrad or graduate level, is so much more than myself when I graduated from Springfield about 7 years ago. So I think kids, their knowledge base and their ability to put effort forth in doing site visits and making contacts is a lot more urgent because they know if I don't make contacts before I leave school, I could just be applying for a job and a stack of resumes and I haven't really stepped out and made a name for myself. So I think kids are leaving school, students are leaving school, making a name for themselves before they apply to jobs and bypassing that whole standard and just getting jobs based on who they know because they've done the internships, they've done the site visits, they've done the volunteer work while they're in school. So I think the knowledge base has grown tremendously since I've been in school. And now GAs know I need to make connections to get a job. You know, I remember in a past podcast you said you've only pulled, I think it was two resumes from a stack to offer someone a job. So that's just the way it is, and it's about the connections you make, and it's just tremendous. And to fall back on something you said about kind of what you can use for your profession is, when I was at Northeastern, I worked there, you know, like I said, 3 years, but after the first year, I went to Dan Boothby and said, hey, Dan, you know, I have summers off. Is it okay if I make a flyer, advertise, and market myself? I'm the assistant here. I want to create a camp, you know, and I went to Framingham State University, marketed, advertised, made my own camp, and advertised myself as hockey strength and conditioning, because that's what I was doing. My first year, I had 6 kids. This past year, I had 30. So it's grown exponentially. So that's something where you need to market yourself, advertise yourself, and that's how you kind of grow yourself in product. So definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, networking and branding is something that is not often taught and is often learned down the line. So knowing that early, I think, makes set you apart. But also, I think, you know, creating skill sets and specific topics, specific areas are going to be where this profession's headed. I think, you know, having a CSCS athletic trainer on staff, I think it's having a CSCS registered dietitian on staff, or a CSCS sports scientist, I think are going to be three ways that young coaches can really separate themselves out right now. And I think it's even going to get more niche down than that as we go. Well, man, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Definitely. I think I got kind of two coaches, two advices. So for people, like, I tell the athletes, especially at Assumption at the Division II level, which is a little bit higher standard, is just talent got you here, and now effort has to bring you the rest of the way. So I tell these athletes, you know, when you leave high school, I know I'm probably getting the best player in their senior class. You made it to Division II level, and we are, thankfully, the past 2 years, we've been nationally ranked. I go, I'm getting the best field hockey player in their senior class. I go, to be honest, ladies, I'm probably getting the best 3 or 4 athletes in the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, you're a top shelf athlete. That's how you got here. Talent brought you here. You have to show me effort, because that's going to bring you the rest of the way. They go against, in the NE10, 5 to 6 schools are nationally ranked every year. So half the conference is nationally ranked that they play against. So I tell them, you're playing against extreme talent, and you're talented. However, you need to give great effort to break through that talent. And so I don't want to have talentless effort. I want you to be talented and show me great effort. And if, another quote is Coach Dose is do the best you can with what you got. And I think that strikes too in the Division III setting, where, you know, things aren't always going to be perfect. But for me, I really strive to bring the best workouts I can for the kids in the environment that I'm in, from the equipment and the space and the logistics of the program. So I think for any program, any environment, you just give the best product you can for the kids, and don't let the product suffer as much as possible. So I think that's two key phrases that I really like to kind of strive home with.
Yeah, it's great. What about a book, app, website recommendation?
For me, for my app, my big app, honestly, is iTunes. I don't listen to the radio in the car. I think it's a waste of time, and I have a ton of podcasts I subscribe to and listen to. So for apps, I'd recommend iTunes, any young coach out there, and just start listening to it. Listen to iTunes in podcast, strength and conditioning podcast. It's a great way when you're sitting in the car kind of doing nothing to learn. Website, strengthperformance.com, jobs, videos of workouts, upcoming clinics and seminars. So I've been kind of trying to go on that daily. Two books, one in strength and conditioning and one not, is I'm currently reading, the title is Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Have you heard of that, Ron?
Yeah, it's a great one.
So by Robert Sapolsky. So it's a guide to stress-related disease and coping. And his big take-home message is, we as humans, we worry about relationships, work, things at home, bills, traffic, meeting. And we activate a short-term psychological system that is supposed to be for acute stress, but we're activating that psychological system in the long term. And that stress can break us down and lead to disease. So I'm only about 30, 40 pages in. It's kind of some heavy reading, but it's really, really cool. I heard him speak at the Boston Sports Medicine Group at Northeastern University 2 years ago, and that kind of got me into his reading. And in strength and conditioning, a book, one that I've heard people say before is Strength Coach Call to Serve by Jeff Connors. And I picked that book up originally because I wanted to really learn more about football. and acceleration mechanics, which he does a phenomenal job on. And I just got a quick quote here I wanted to read from Connors himself that in the book that really stood out to me and helped me take home a great message in terms of conditioning. So that is from Jeff Connors here. So he said, defensive linemen today have to two platoon, which means, for those who don't know, play one side of the ball. And so they go full speed for 30 to 40 snaps a game. And he said, folks, that's a total of 4 minutes if each play goes 6 seconds. Remember, that's the total max effort demand over 3 hours. I almost get physically ill when I think of a player who can't go full speed, dominate an opponent, and help us win a game for a grand total of 4 minutes over 3 hours. I have zero sympathy for people who can't pull that off. So as a young strength coach reading that, I'm like, wow, you know, he just broke down the biomechanics of the sport and the energy systems, and that's what it is. And so if you're learning, if you want to study sports where you're not quite into it, because I've had a little bit of football background, but not a ton, you know, I wanted to get on that book, and that's something that's kind of resonated with me, that quote, and I was like, wow, it's, you know, 4 minutes over 3 hours. I mean, that's tremendous. That's what you're trading for. So that's something that was a big take-home message for me.
No, that's fantastic. Well, Ben, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. And again, I think, you know, it shows a lot about you, a lot about your character and what you're trying to do by reaching out and, you know, and not waiting until you have all the answers to be on a show like this or, you know, or not having – not being intimidated by putting yourself out there. I think that those are two things that oftentimes coaches are not willing to do. And you know, when you have to put yourself out there as a coach, you have to continue to, you know, you have to find ways to learn and challenge yourself. And by doing that, you continue to grow in this profession. And obviously you're doing that. You're doing a great job up there and really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me. And the big take-home message is definitely put yourself out there, schedule site visits, send out emails. A story I'd like to share quickly before we go is when I was trying to learn more about football, I reached out to one of your past interviewees, Coach Ken Manny.
Yep.
And it was 2014. It was the week of the, I think, Fiesta Bowl. No, I'm sorry, Rose Bowl. So Michigan State beat Stanford by 14. And that week I reached out to him. Learn more about conditioning and football. He sent me his entire freshman football packet the week of the Rose Bowl, the biggest game of the year. He had time to answer my email about conditioning. So I think really coaches, reach out to people, schedule site visits, learn more about it, advertise yourself, market yourself, and just get more in depth in this field. So
that's great, man. Appreciate you, both. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.